Welcome back to part 2 or episode 24 of the Happiest Hell podcast. We are coming to the conclusion of this two-part series today. In the second part, we're going to be specifically asking the question, finally, the chicken and egg question. Which comes first, thought or ego? Now, let's also talk about why this question is so important. I'll talk to you right after the opening credits.
One does not need to learn what one already is, only unlearn what one thinks they are. There is no way to happiness, none whatsoever. In searching for it, you will destroy its beauty. One does not become happy, one is happy. Ask, what is fear? Observe without judgment, and you have opened the door to compassion, which is the only form of intelligence. And once you have seen it, you cannot unsee it. So can you end it, your conditioned mind?
End it. Now, in part one, a quick recap, we talked about how the mind is in pieces, how it operates in fragments. And we said we could become aware of these pieces, of this fragmentation, the awareness of the mind operating in this particular way through our awareness of conflicts of opinions, arguments, differences, violence, all of those. Those are the biggest indicators that our mind is fragmented. Now, we went further and we asked, what is the cause of this fragmentation? We said that it has come about from generations of conditioning, traditions, practices, beliefs, and so forth. Now, along the way, at some point, let's backtrack in our own life, the ego is born. And the ego is there to protect its nest in a way, so to speak. It has thought to its duty. It collects information that we have described. It stores it nicely in memory. And then the ego tries to have you believe that it's real, that it exists, that it's in control of all those pieces, that it's in control of your life. And most importantly, it thinks it's a real thing and a separate thing. That is, there is a self, this me, and then there is the thing that I'm doing. So it's kind of like two things. There is a self, which is me, and then I am doing something. I am reading a book. I am watching television. I am cooking lunch. So you and whatever you're doing are two separate entities. Interesting, isn't it? Now, the ego, basically creating and collecting all these images of ourselves over time, if I may put it that way, loves to feel it's important. Now, I tried this little explanation at home with my kids the other day. This was after dinner, I put a small bottle of Parmigiano cheese on the table. And I explained to them that the me is the bottle. I drew a couple of eyes on it, by the way. The me thinks it exists and it sees things separately. The me thinks that it's sitting on the table and therefore it sees the table as something separate from itself. But I went on and explained, how is the me seeing the table? And one of my daughters said, well, through its eyes. Other suggestions, well, I'll leave those out for now. There were other things. But then I asked, how does the cheese bottle see another person? And one of them said, well, maybe they see another cheese bottle. So I said, sure, okay, let's try this. So I proceeded to put a salad dressing bottle in front of the cheese bottle. And I asked them, is that what they see? I said, yes. Now they're both, this is the image I'm going to ask you to paint. They're both sitting on the table, these two bottles. Then I decided to put a fork near there. And I also got a piece of paper. And I said to them, well, the cheese bottle sees all these things as separate items, right? Next, I said, how do I prove that the me really exists? Is it really there? And I took the cheese and dressing bottles off the table. And I said to them, what is there now? And one of them said, there's no more me. So I said, well, what is there then? And they said, there's a table. I said, yes. A fork. Yes. Tissues or paper. Yes, right. And I said to them, what if those things didn't have a name? We've just named them, but what if they didn't have a name? Okay, at this point, they were pretty puzzled, but I said, what if we didn't call the table a table? What happens? And they said, nothing, I just see it. It's there. It's brown and it's hard. I said, ah, wait, let's not describe it at all. Without words, what do you see? And there was a long pause. I brought back the two bottles and I said, and I asked them, what does the cheese bottle see about the other bottle? And one of them said, well, if I was the cheese bottle, then I would see the other dressing bottle and it has a name, Caesar dressing. It's got a white cap and it's kind of thin and they described it in different shapes and it's bigger and that kind of thing. And I said, exactly. The me puts all of that together. All that information is keeping us separate from what is. And those images are responsible for racism, hate, anxiety, stress, suffering, despair, and all of that hope, all of those things. Now, there was a deeper question that arose after that, I'll go into the final episode for, but right now, my point is this, and you've probably heard me say this in the past. Any activity you engage in or experience, including meditation, affirmations, prayer, any action born of the mind is self-centered. What you are doing is reinforcing the self and all its violent and corrupt ways. Even taking action to be free from the self is self-centered. We could have gone into the two bottles that were on the table and, I may have said, well, what if, the cheese bottle had a bad experience with the dressing bottle and now doesn't like the dressing bottle anymore and calls it names and so forth. So that division exists, that it's the work of the ego, of the me. So why in our lives are we taught to create a separate entity? At some point we're introduced to this and then go about our lives as if the separate entity is us. And then we scream in this world for unification, for peace, for compassion, for empathy, when that separate entity is making it impossible for any of these to take place. It's the cause of all suffering. So how does that self-ego come about? Does thought create it? This is why we need to ask which comes first, thought or ego? Or is it both? If we can understand the root of it, we may be able to understand how to put an end to this destructive, separative process that interferes with our human way of living every single day for thousands upon thousands of years. Perhaps then we will understand the real meaning of relationship and not the relationship between the cheese bottle and the dressing bottle, but real love and compassion, not the one defined by the cheese bottle or the salad dressing bottle, which is based on experience and conditioning and so forth. Because love and compassion cannot come from anything that thought creates. And we have talked about this through the entire series. And in part one, we established that fear may be the cause of this fragmentation. That is, through the awareness of conflict. So let's understand what comes first. Now, the answer to this question doesn't mean you can go back in time in a DeLorean or any other time machine and change the course of history, but it can give us a huge insight into the human mind. Let's look into this. When a baby is born, it has some basic functionality. Physically, it's able to already start moving, although just a little. When it's hungry, the baby may cry. It comes with basic human instincts of survival. Babies also sleep, and we often see them smiling in this sleep. This might be a reaction to them having gas, but it could also possibly mean that they're dreaming. Does one feel at this moment that the baby may have thinking, may have thought? Possibly, right? Is this basic instinct, this thought of, or dream perhaps, or basic thinking of, which is a natural function of the brain, is it operating out of ego at this moment? It says to mommy and daddy, I am hungry, give me food, and therefore I will scream and yell until you do. Is that the ego that's operating at that time, or is it really experiencing a bit of hardship because it cannot get food? If we are going to yell and scream until we get something, then it becomes conditional, right? And therefore, it is the operation of the ego. But I think in a baby, it's coming from the instinct to survive. Now, that being said, we have established that there is some thought going on. Thought seems to be first. And it learns very quickly that in order to survive, it has to know how to suck. It has to know how to suck milk from the bottle or from its mother or so forth to drink milk. So there is some brainwave activity going on here. Some connectivity is happening in the brain already. The question now becomes, if thought comes first, what created the ego? Well, the baby might eventually learn that in order to survive, it needs a parent to rely on. Again, I encourage you to pause here before I give away my particular answers. Again, as I've done through the whole series, don't believe anything I'm saying here. I'm just going through an analysis for myself. I'm not using books here. I'm just trying to keep things as simple and as basic as possible. And so in order to survive, the baby might eventually feel that it needs a parent to rely on. So it starts creating a dependency on the parent, whether it's for food, water, basic survival, etc. And it may start creating a like for certain things, right? We teach the kids very early what is good to do and what is not good to do. We try and teach them how to hold their spoon, you know, and if they spill their food everywhere, we might wipe it for a while. But when they get older, we get mad. So they're learning through us, and all of this is in a way conditioning their learning. It's limiting them. And some things are necessary, of course. I won't go into that here. So the question is that ego born out of dependency on the parent? And therefore, if there's a dependency, security comes into place. I mean, biologically, it is so. But I'm talking psychologically here. When there's a psychological dependency, then security becomes necessary. And the potential of loss of that security is fear. Is it not? Did you see it? And what did we say fear was causing? Fragmentation. And what did we say we needed to be aware of? Conflict. Now we know. Now, I may not be 100% correct with the timing of all of this explanation, but at some point there does appear to exist psychological security. Now, we've established that thought exists, and since thought operates and exists in time, as we have mentioned previously, then comes the invention of fear. The moment thought creates dependency, it has created ego. It needs security, and the ego thinks it's very, very important and goes after that security, which is why it attaches itself to beliefs and then starts the whole debacle. So now, over these two parts, we have established that there is a place for thought in episode one, as long as it operates within the fragmented piece of knowledge, such as driving a car, riding a motorcycle, riding a bicycle, etc. The moment it thinks it can control all of the pieces together as one, havoc takes place. It's just not able to. So we've just understood thought and ego. In part one, we also touched on the fact, and this is what I want to get back to, that our mind is the representation of all humanity. And now I would like us to understand that we are not dividing the inner and the outer. Your mind and the mind of all humanity and the reflection you see in society is one. So, in episodes 20 and 21, we looked at ending fear and the images and essentially the ego, which sets us up nicely for the final installment. Because what is left? The whole point of the Happiest Hell podcast series was to help you understand this very last, utterly indescribable yet flowing with abundance remaining thing that I would like to talk about in my bonus episode in the series finale. The insight that will have you bursting with energy. The miracle and the sacredness of you, of humanity, and the world. Looking forward to it. Let me know what you thought of this discussion with myself, and I look forward to talking to you again in the very last episode of the Happiest Hell podcast. Stay well. This podcast is produced by the Silent Leadership Institute in Japan. To discover more insights, blogs, and online courses, please visit gcimineli.com. If you feel this podcast will help others, please help me share it to the world by giving it a rating or a review or sharing it on social media.